This is the 4501 Podcast, episode 39, Backpacking Thailand. Hey Tony, how's it going, man?
I'm doing pretty well, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing better than you, I think.
Why, is that because you moved your office downstairs?
No, it's because I don't have long AF hair.
Yeah, I really need to do something about that. It's getting.
We talked about this in a couple podcasts ago. Like, where do you go to cut your hair?
Yeah, and that was when I was in Thailand, which is what we're going to be talking about today. And I should have got my hair cut there because it's like 10 times more expensive to get it cut in Japan.
Oh, really? Is that why they all have bowl cuts?
Dude. I think so. I walk by so many barbers and they're like $50 to get your hair cut.
Are they good?
I don't know. I don't want to find out. I can't afford that.
Do we have any friends that have gone to Japan?
Well, Tim went.
Yeah, but I don't think you can get a haircut there.
No. Yeah. That's all I know. Actually, I think Harry's brother's in Japan right now.
Matt Wong?
Yeah.
Matt Wong is not his real
name,
FYI.
His
we don't
cousin.
Use real names. His cousin?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe you can hook him up on Instagram. I got his Instagram handle, and we can talk about that off air. But in any case, let's get into today's episode. Let's stop talking about Tony's long hair, even though if you were looking at what I'm looking at, you think he's a dog or something.
Jealous.
So, Thailand. Backpacking in Thailand. What can you tell us about backpacking in Thailand, Tony?
Yeah, I don't even know where to start. I've only...
Well, let's start with the basics of how we always start this podcast.
Yep.
Why did you decide to go to Thailand?
Okay. Well, this one was a little bit different than previous explanations. So, this was just because of proximity to Laos. So, we talked a little bit about my travels in Laos last episode 38, when we were talking to Talia about her experience volunteering there. But geographically, Thailand is located west of Laos. So for me, it was as simple as crossing the border from Laos into Thailand over land.
And was that a easy thing to do?
Yes, I'd say so. It was kind of like to get all the information together about how to actually do it. It was like a little bit of work, a little bit of research on the internet. But what I actually ended up doing was taking a slow boat, a river boat from Luang Prabang in Laos. And it took me 2 days to get down to the border of Thailand in the Chiang Rai province. And I think they're called provinces, but it doesn't matter. It's the border city between Laos and Thailand, and there,
and that's like the northeast part of Thailand, correct? Like the upper northeast.
Yes, you're exactly right.
Yep. Okay,
so if you're looking at the map, that's what it is. And yep. Once you're there, the process of crossing the border over land, which is, I think that might have been the first time I've ever done something like that, you have to get your passport stamped, like an exit stamp from Laos first while you're still in Laos. And then there's a bridge. They always call the bridges friendship bridges between two countries. A bridge over a river that you have to take a bus, like a government bus or something like that, to get from one side to the other. And so at this point, you're like in no man's land. You're not in Laos. You're not in Thailand. You're like no man's land. No man's land. And then you get off the bus in Thailand, get your passport stamped to enter into Thailand. And then you're free to go. Like, you can go do whatever you want. So we got a taxi to a hostel nearby and spent the night.
Okay, that's cool. So did you have to worry about any type of visa ramifications or anything like that? Like, did you have to apply for a visa or travel visa or whatever?
Well, what's really cool about Thailand is there is a visa, yes, but you can get it on arrival and it's free for 30 days. So anybody going to Thailand doesn't need to worry about applying online before you get there. You could just show up at an airport or a border crossing and get in for free for 30 days. Now, if you want to stay for more than 30 days, you're going to have to spend $60 to extend an additional 30 days. So that ends up being like $2 a day if you want to stay for 60 days.
Okay. Didn't you have a story about that? So you and Talls were in Thailand, and did someone's visa expire? Like the timing was off?
Yeah, so...
Or was that a different country?
No, that's... You're right. The my Lao visa was expiring, and so was hers, and I went a couple days ahead of her, so I didn't, like, overdo my stay, whereas she overdid her stay, and she had to pay the penalty to the Lao government. I think it was $10 a day for her 4 days extra that she stayed over her visa.
Oh, wow. But if you're a budget backpacker, that 4 days adds up to $40. Is that U.S. or like Laotian dollar?
Yeah, U.S. dollars. So all in U.S. dollars. It's weird.
Oh, wow.
A lot of places accept, like, prefer U.S. dollars versus their local currency. I'm not really sure.
Well, it's so strong, right?
Yeah,
I guess.
I think so. It's funny if you think about it.
Okay. Well, did you actually see other backpackers while you were there in Thailand?
Oh yeah, ton of backpackers. I did not stay at a hostel in Thailand. It was an Airbnb, but just walking around the streets, whether that was in Chiang Rai, Chiang Mai, and Bangkok, you see more so in Bangkok especially, you see a lot of foreigners. And the local term for that, I'm not sure. I think Thailand and Lao use the same local term for foreigners. It's called a phalang or phalong.
That seems very disrespectful.
It's like, I don't think it's derogatory, no. I think it's just like foreigner. That's how they say foreigner.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, bunch of backpackers. Thailand's a very popular place for backpackers. It's like a backpacker hub, I would say, because it's so cheap to travel there, and it has a good infrastructure. In contrast that to Laos, where it's like it's still cheap, yes, but there's really not a good infrastructure. So Thailand's like the go-to, and Bangkok especially.
Okay, well let's talk about like a daily expenditure. Like how much can you like you said Thailand is cheap, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Don't edit this out, please, because I want the people to know that I stumble. I'm a normal human being.
Okay.
Can you give me a daily rundown of how expensive or inexpensive you would pay for like a normal day in Thailand? And so like how, like you stayed there for how long, like a month or two?
Yep.
A month?
I was in Thailand for just a month.
Okay. And how much did you spend in totality? Would you ballpark?
Oh, I actually have the exact number for you.
Okay,
so,
cool.
Over the course of the 26 days that I stayed in Thailand, I spent $1,115.32.
Wow, that's cheaper than my rent here in Baltimore.
Oh yeah, and that's
crazy.
This includes food, lodging, transportation, activities, all that stuff. So that works out to be $42.90 a day.
So were you comfortable like for the entire month, or was it kind of like? You could have spent a little bit more to be a little bit more comfortable, if that makes any sense.
Obviously, I could spend more to be more comfortable, but you got to watch some of my travel videos. Like, the apartment I was staying in was super nice, like in an apartment, a luxury apartment complex, an Airbnb for, like, I think it was $20 a night. And that was more expensive than your average hostel. So I was spending more than I could have. Or I should have, or not should have, just more than a typical backpacker would have staying in a hostel. Meals are like, if you spend $10 on a meal, you're getting like a feast. But like $5 to $8 is like an average meal for like dinner. And then transportation's super cheap. I remember we took a bus in Bangkok, an hour and 15 minute bus across the city, and it cost us 16 cents each. So
wow.
It's very, very
good.
Affordable.
And how big was the city? It's like, that's a pretty, it was Bangkok, so right? It's pretty extensive.
Bangkok's huge. It's sprawling. I think the population's like 8.5 million people just in the metro area.
Wow.
So it's a big, big city. And I don't know the distance. Definitely like 20 miles maybe.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. So Bangkok, cheap. Great. Was the food good at least?
So That was
here's the fallacy of living on $1,100 per month.
No, it's this is just my opinion. Did you ever have pad thai?
Yeah, I had it today for lunch actually.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did. It's probably not as good as pad thai from Thailand though.
Probably, but this is so funny because when you think of pad thai, you think of Thailand, and I'm not actually sure if I think it actually originated in China or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know if pad thai is actually from Thailand.
It's super popular.
I ask this myself every day, like, is pad thai really from Thailand?
Is that like when you wake up in the morning, you're like, pad thai? No,
well, because the pad thai at Georgetown, they have an Epicurean, which is basically like a, it's like an upscale cafeteria. Okay, that's putting it gently. And there's like a noodle place there. And so you can get like ramen noodles or pan fried noodles, or you can get pad thai. And the pad thai is like the best value there. Like it's like $12 a pop for like chicken pad thai, and it's a little expensive, but you get so much food that, and it tastes pretty good. So, but like I always want pad thai every day, honestly.
You're addicted.
So it's probably the MSG.
It's definitely the MSG. That's something to talk about later too. But for me, the best pad thai I had was in Laos actually. It was like, and that was the first time I've ever had pad thai in my life. So like 2 weeks before I went to Thailand, I had my first pad thai. Delicious, unbelievably delicious. And then when I got to Thailand, I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to eat pad thai every day. And I did that, but they were all such a letdown. It was lacking flavor. It didn't really have that like peanut sauce flavor that I was used to from Laos. So it was kind of a, you know, I never really found the perfect dish of pad thai in Thailand. But outside of that, I did have some great curries, delicious, like green and red curries. I think that was my new go-to in Thailand.
Like Indian curries?
Kind of, but they're like more soupy. They're not as thick, like gravy-like. They're more of like thinner, waterier curry with meat and vegetables. Some of them are creamier.
Oh, really? That's interesting. I didn't know Thailand was known for their curries. Or is it a Thai curry then, I guess?
Yeah. They don't say Thai curry on the menu, but in essence, that's what it is.
I mean, yeah. Well, you wouldn't call like an American cheeseburger. You see that, right? Like don't call it like an American cheeseburger. You just call it cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we are getting off topic here. Actually, no, we're on topic. So food. There's obviously different places you can go beyond just getting pad thai 24/7, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. Yeah. I try to stay away from the street food, although I did have...
I was just about to ask you that. It's like, is it like street food? Like, why stay away?
Or is it
that your preference, or is it like...
It's my preference.
Unwritten law.
I think for local people, it's okay because they're... You should know about this more than I do, but their system is used to like some of the parasites or whatever happens. The bottom line is like the food sits out potentially on the street, like on their food carts for an entire day and potentially spoils. And you don't know how they're handling the meat, like if they're keeping it under the refrigeration, probably not if it's sitting in their food cart. So it's just riskier to eat from there. Although it's like super cheap, it's, I don't know if it's worth the risk.
No, that makes sense. So I remember your video from Vietnam where you got the banh mi. Which one is more suspect, Vietnam or Thailand?
Yeah. Just on my experience alone, I'd say Vietnam. Thailand's a little bit more clean. And I don't know if that's the right word.
The streets are cleaner.
They're filthy, but I'm not sure. It's just like my initial vibe of the whole thing.
Okay. All right. So we've talked about food. We've talked about kind of expenses, and a little bit of lot. So if you're backpacking, you'd say Airbnb. Don't even worry about hostels just because of the price.
Well, the thing, if you can afford it, yeah, get an Airbnb. But it's funny because Airbnb is actually illegal in Thailand. They're not technically supposed to be operating in Thailand. So at a bunch of the Airbnbs I stayed at, there are these signs in the lobbies of the apartment complexes that said short-term rentals are illegal in Thailand and like subject to imprisonment. Anything like daily or weekly rentals are not allowed. Monthly only is allowed here. And that's kind of scary, right? If you're staying at one of these places, even though it does exist on the Airbnb app. So you got to like, it doesn't come without risk, I guess, if you want to stay in an Airbnb. It definitely needs to step up from a guest house or a hostel, but just keep that in the back of your mind, I guess. I don't think anything will ever happen, but it is illegal.
I gotcha. No, I mean, that's something to know, right? so let's talk a little bit about location-wise. So you said you started in Laos and you went to Chiang Rai, then Chiang Mai, and you kind of went south to Bangkok.
Mm-hmm.
What, from the backpackers you met, if they just got to Thailand, where would they... I'm assuming they would fly into Bangkok, right? And then, like, but that's kind of like the middle of the country. So yep. Did you have a good kind of idea of what the best path would be if you were going to Thailand? Like, that was your first stop, right?
Oh,
you're flying to Bangkok. What would you do?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'd say spend at least like 3 days in Bangkok. There's a ton to see there. And you need to make a decision, though, what you want to prioritize. Do you want to check out like the mountainous northern region of Thailand or the southern beach region of Thailand? Because if you look at Thailand on a map, it's like this very narrow peninsula that I'm not even sure what the body of water is, but
it's the Gulf of Thailand.
Gulf of Thailand, very good. It mm-hmm. has a ton of beaches, beautiful beaches. Like if you just type in Thailand beaches, you'll see how really nice they are. So if you're a beach bum, definitely go south. There's trains. The train system in Thailand's actually really good. Trains and buses.
Really?
Yeah. We took an overnight train from Chiang Mai to Bangkok, and it was like a brand new train, really nice and pretty cheap as well, like 32 a person, as opposed to flying, Eric, which would be like double that.
Was it better than India?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure.
Shared accommodations? Was it shared accommodations and someone sat on your legs again?
It was not that bad. It was shared, but bunks and all that stuff. Upper berth, lower berth, but much more comfortable, cleaner, and brand new, pretty much.
Air conditioning?
But yeah, so there's also some islands down in southern Thailand that are really popular for backpackers.
Koh Samui. Wait, really? Like so I've heard of Phuket, Thailand, and like Koh Samui, which is the south. Those are like the most famous beaches, I would say, mm-hmm. in Thailand, and those are in the southern part. But what islands are you talking about? Those two islands, or are you talking about other ones where you just backpack to?
Yeah. No, those for sure. I'm not sure if Phuket is an island, but the other one is, and there's other like smaller ones right in that area. Like there's a chain of them, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. And people go there to backpack and stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And just be a beach bum. And I haven't been there. I'm not sure if I'm going, but I think there's like party scenes there, drinking on the beach kind of thing, all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people go to Thailand for like honeymoons because it is super cheap.
Mm-hmm. It's really smart. You get a really good bang for your buck by doing that.
Okay. And so making the decision between north and south, which one did you go? You didn't go to the south, did you? South Thailand?
The furthest south I went was Bangkok, because I worked my way from north to south, and then I left from Bangkok to Japan. But if we want to talk about the north, the mountainous region, a lot of people go up there to just get away from the hustle and bustle of the city or don't want a beach anymore, so they head north. And let's see. So there's lots of hiking, lots of waterfalls, hot springs up north. And there's also this place just outside of Chiang Mai, like a 3-hour drive outside of Chiang Mai, that is called Pai. Have you ever heard of Pai, Thailand? P-A-I?
No, I have not. Tell me about Pai.
It's a very small...
I've heard of cake, though. I've heard of cake Thailand.
Cake, really?
Yeah.
There's a cake Thailand.
No, there's not.
Good one.
There's naan. I just see there's... I'm looking at Google Maps right now. There's naan.
Mmm, that sounds tasty. Anyway, Pai is this like hippie backpacker hub that a lot of people go to. I think like magic mushrooms are really popular, like weed, all these super, when you think of like a stereotypical backpacker with like dreadlocks and elephant pants. Yeah. That's kind of like where they all go and just hang out for like a week.
I want to throw in a disclaimer here. The 4501 podcast does not condone or like suggest anyone do illegal things, especially in a foreign country.
That's a very bad idea. You're right.
Yeah.
So
throw out that disclaimer, Tony. Don't be misguiding our listeners.
Hey, I'm not guiding anybody. I'm just telling them what exists.
Okay. All right. That's fair enough.
So, Pi is very popular up there. And then there's just outside of that as well, which is where we initially wanted to go to because I was still with Tally at this point. I don't know the name of it, but did you ever see those pictures of Thai people or just Southeast Asian people with like 25 necklaces on their neck, and there's like necks is very, very like extended and tall because of it? Like,
no.
Okay. No. Well,
I've seen that in like African culture, but not Thai culture.
Okay, so I guess it's like a similar concept. There's these mountain villages that I'm not really sure much about it, but that practice that type of, I don't know if it's like for fashion or beauty or whatever, but they wear that type of thing when they're older, I guess. And a lot of people go to that part of Thailand to see that and to experience like authentic mountain villages in Thailand. So that's also part of that itinerary.
I gotcha. Okay. And that's in the mountain region?
Yeah. You're working your way closer and closer to Myanmar at this point.
Gotcha.
As we're going west.
All right. And so when you're in the northern mountains, you talked about the train system, but is that like, is the mountainous region, is it that well connected with trains?
The main hub is Chiang Mai. So,
okay.
And everything kind of branches off of that. So you're within like a 2 or 3 hour bus ride, or another popular method of transportation is renting a scooter. So for like $5-6 a day US, you can rent a scooter and go to any one of these places.
Gotcha. That's cool. Okay. Let's talk about, and this is a very important topic, I would say. So ignoring kind of the southern part, if you want to, you know, hear about the southern part of Thailand, email us, tweet us at the 4501 podcast, and tell Tony to go there and he will explore the southern beaches of Thailand and get drunk and whatever they do down there. do illicit drugs, even though we don't like recommend that.
Not at all.
Tweet us, email us. He will go there for you. He will sacrifice his body for you, the listener, to get us the info of how to backpack in the south of Thailand. But for the next part, let's talk about weather and specifically the rainy season in Thailand. And if you're in the mountains, what could happen? Like, tell us, when does the rainy season happen in Thailand and when should you go explore the mountain areas of Thailand? Because if you're backpacking, right, you did a video on this, you could get trapped in a cave system if it's a monsoon. And the best kind of national, actually world, global news that happened within the past few years is that soccer team getting trapped in that cave during a monsoon season. So obviously people don't want to be trapped in a cave for like 3 months. So when would be the best time to go visit the mountains of Thailand?
So, yeah, I think your first question was, when is the rainy season? I think it starts in June, like May or June, and goes to October, maybe November. So I was definitely in Thailand at the rainy season, during the rainy season. And that was actually one of my biggest concerns, was going to this area during rainy season. Like, that's going to screw up my whole plan. Like, it's going to be raining every day. I'm not going to be able to do anything outside. I'm just going to sit inside all day. But honestly, that was not the case at all. I think rainy season scares a lot of people for that reason. But in reality, I'd say like maybe once every 2 weeks, you'll have a big storm that it rains the whole day. But what rainy season actually is just afternoon rain showers that are very sporadic. Like after 4 p.m., let's say you get like a 15-minute rain shower. It rains pretty heavily for during that time. Sun comes back out. Then maybe like 45 minutes later, you get another like 5-minute rain shower. Sun comes back out. And then another like 15-minute rain shower again. So it's not like it's raining the whole day from May to October. It's just these afternoon rain showers, which are kind of similar to what we have in the United States in the summer. When it gets too humid, it rains in the afternoon, that kind of thing.
Gotcha. So are you saying that people shouldn't be as worried about the rainy season as much as the news should like let you on to believe?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's, like I said, every few weeks there's they call them typhoons or something, like a hurricane in the U.S. There's these bigger rainstorms that come through, and that's something to watch out for. That's something to pay attention to, and you don't want to go into a cave during that time. But, like, typically, you don't have to worry about rainy season ruining your travel plans. It's okay.
Yeah, I think typhoons are kind of the equivalent of hurricanes in the United States, where you have just a lot of gusty wind, like really fast winds and then rain. But I'm not a meteorologist. I did not get my PhD in meteorology, so I can't comment on what the difference between a typhoon and a hurricane is. So, but I think that's, they're similar, but there's probably just a different categorical system to define what two systems are.
Yeah. And there's also like a monsoon too, which I think that's similar, but who knows?
It's like a windstorm in the east. It's like it starts with a G. It's a derecho.
I never heard of that.
You've never heard of a derecho? I think it's called like a derecho is like a fierce windstorm, I think. Like you just like, there's no rain. It's just like crazy amounts of wind.
Wow.
Yeah. It's happened a couple times in Maryland. Within like I remember one distinctly where like power lines came down because it was just like a lot of just wind and it knocked down a lot of trees and stuff like that.
Hmm. Whoa.
Yeah. Okay. So, and then if someone wanted to go see the cave where those soccer players were, where can they find that?
Oh yeah. So that's in Chiang Rai. Like I think I said earlier, Chiang Rai, there's a city, Chiang Rai, and then I'm going to call it a province, like the larger area equivalent of a state in the United States. Up north, all the way up north of Chiang Rai, right along the border of Myanmar, is a town called, and I'm probably going to pronounce it wrong, Maesai, M-A-E-S-I, two words, and that is where that all took place. So what I did to go there was just rent a motorbike for a couple of days, headed north for an hour and a half, and stayed overnight, and then the next day went to check it out. The thing, at least in 2019, is you can't actually enter the cave to see where those boys were stuck. They have it all fenced off, and I think their intention is to improve the infrastructure there to make it safe for people to enter, because they know they want people to come there and experience it and see the beauty, because it is super, super beautiful. It's like a hidden gem up until the point where the boys got stuck. Like, nobody went there. They had, like, just a few thousand people visit the cave every year. And now, ever since that happening, there's, like, millions of people going there to try to see it.
Yeah, and if you, when was that? Do you have a YouTube video about that? Mm-hmm. That you put out like a couple of weeks ago, right?
Yeah. So that all took place last 2018, around June, July. And the video was recorded like just about 1 year after that.
Okay, cool. So we're getting short on time here. We don't want this to go too long. So is there any last kind of things you want to add about backpacking in Thailand? We cover food, we cover expenses, we cover travel within the country, kind of where you stayed, kind of exploring the northern parts. Is there anything else you want to add?
Yeah, I guess just real quick, for anybody who wants to go there and never been to that area of the world. And we talked about this in a previous episode too. Just make sure you have your travel vaccinations ahead of time before you go there. So that way you're protecting yourself from mosquitoes and all the, what are the diseases, Mark? Or the whatever they carry and could potentially hurt you. Yeah, have your vaccines, do your research ahead of time, and I think you'll have a really good time.
Okay. Well, thanks for listening to this episode. Tony, don't screw it up and take us out.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to this episode. We will see you in the next one.
See you next time. Hey everyone, thanks for listening to this episode. Please follow us on Twitter at the 451 Podcast to keep up with the latest news and events. If you have any suggestions for episodes or would like to contact us, shoot us an email at the451podcast@gmail.com.